Combat Misfits! Good evening and welcome to the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We have a packed show on deck. We are going to cover our predictions for UFC 268 this weekend live in New York City, baby. As well as the Canelo Alvarez versus Cal Plant fight. Coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. East Coast, West Coast, we've got both fights on tap for this weekend. Please stay locked and loaded for this website, or for this podcast, I mean. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Hit the bell for all notifications so that you are aware when we go live twice a week. I would like to introduce my co-host, Chris Thedick.
What's going on, guys?
As well as my producer, our producer, Vinny Quinn.
Yo, what's up, fellas?
What's going on, mate? I am Dave Mileto, and we are Combat Misfits. Wouldn't you like to be a misfit just like us, you know? So we're going to get into a lot of topics. We have a stacked card ahead of us. We're coming off of last week's UFC 267 stacked card. There's already been two new champions. We've got Petr Yan capturing the interim bantamweight championship. We've got Glover Teixeira capturing the UFC light heavyweight championship. And now we've got two more title fights for you this Saturday live in Madison Square Garden. I am more pumped than ever for this card. I've been waiting and waiting for these two rematches. You know, most of the time you hear rematches and you're like, you know, is what it is. But I think a lot of time has come from Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington, their first fight. I'm looking to see a change of events. There's been a lot of changes, Chris, and we're going to get into it right now. So, we've got Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington. We've got Rose Namajunas versus Weili Zhang. And to open the card, a lot of sources have said that it will be Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler to open up the pay-per-view for UFC 268.
Who's the sources?
Ariel Helwani.
Ariel Helwani.
And he's pretty legit. He gets a lot of the details. He is a fine analyst that I always look to for breaking news. He always finds a way to break these news. And he's 99% correct, you know. He has a lot of high sources. So, you know, we're going to see what takes place this weekend. And we're going to give our predictions. So if you're live in the chat, please comment. Comment in the YouTube video. Comment on Facebook. Comment wherever we are live for the podcast. Give us your predictions as well. Because why not, you know? We would like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. So who do you got for the fight? Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. Who do you got?
So, okay, Justin Gaethje, Michael Chandler, they've been saying this is for the number one contender for the lightweight belt. Charles Oliveira currently holds that belt. And, you know, Justin Gaethje has had his opportunity already against Khabib Nurmagomedov, lost to Khabib Nurmagomedov, like most people. And then Michael Chandler has also had the position for the belt when he fought Charles Oliveira for the vacant belt when Khabib vacated it and didn't work in Michael Chandler's favor. And I don't see Michael Chandler winning this fight.
I don't either. I think he's overhyped. Megally overhyped.
Now, yeah, Michael Chandler, he's had a lot of success in Bellator. He was the Bellator lightweight champion in Bellator several times. So, you know, this is no run-of-the-mill for him. He's used to these, you know, contender status championship fights, you know, these, you know, number one contender spots as well as, you know, championship fights. This is nothing new to him. However, you know, so when he came into the UFC, you know, he fought Dan Hooker, ran through Dan Hooker, hasn't really had, he hasn't really had too many fights to prove if he is at UFC level, you know? So
I think he did already. He had a fight, won, then he got knocked out the next. Now he's fighting Justin.
Now he's fighting Justin, yeah.
Well, and then if Justin beats him, then what does that tell you?
So he's fought Dan Hooker. He fought Charles Oliveira. So he's 1-1. So he won against Dan Hooker, lost against Charles Oliveira.
Yep.
And now he's fighting, you know, the stud of a man, Justin Gaethje, who goes in the octagon and basically says, I'm willing to die in that octagon.
Right, and what does that tell you if he loses to Justin? What does that tell you? Does it tell you anything or no?
It tells you
he belongs to Bellator.
Yeah. Now, we do have a Bellator card on this weekend. And let's be real. I mean, I love to talk about Bellator, but it's just not at the level that UFC is at. You know, like, it's a real shame. I know they put on these great fights, you know. They had Fedor Emelianenko,
trash.
Starching, Timothy Johnson.
Trash.
Look, Fedor Emelianenko is
trash.
One of the best heavyweights
trash.
That was never...
trash.
Come on.
Let you say that. He's trash.
You think Fedor Emelianenko trash. Is trash?
Trash.
Come on. Just because he
Who's
never...
He beat? Who did he beat that's a big name? I'll wait. That's in the UFC. I'll wait.
He's never fought in the UFC. Yeah.
He fought no competitors compared to the UFC.
He stayed to the Scott Coker brand, you know?
He fought bum ass fighters and he got popular because he was undefeated because he fought bums. There's no one who can tell me different. Fedor did not fight no elite fighters. Zero. A goose egg. There's no fighter.
Oh, man.
No, there's no fighter.
I agree with you to an extent. I do agree.
No one has to agree with me at all. It's just facts. You cannot fight facts. In sports or any kind of competitive thing in the world, if you don't fight nobody big, starred, or have a big name, or who can fight, you hold no weight. You hold no weight. Fedor fought nobody tough in his career. In his career, you can look up the career, you can look up his fights. He has fought nobody good. Top dog, nothing. Trash fighters, and he got famous for beating on bums. I love Kimbo Slice, but he didn't fight nobody big name either. He got famous off of winning and beating on bums. He's just don't got it. Fought nobody with any kind of name or relevancy to them. That's just
Chris
facts.
Is making a statement right here on the podcast.
It's just facts. It's facts.
It is facts. I have no argument for that.
Right.
I do not have any argument. What would Fedor Emelianenko be if he did fight these top-level contenders in the UFC?
Mediocre at best. He'd be probably top 15, maybe top 10 pushing. He fought nobody good.
All right. Well, that's not what we're here for, okay? We are here to talk about UFC 268. So we've established that Justin Gaethje should win this fight, correct?
Correct.
And Michael Chandler... Where does he go if he loses this fight?
8 or 9 in his ranking system. Instead of him having him...
Whoa! Wait a minute. So, right now, he is number 4 in the UFC lightweight rankings on UFC.com.
Correct.
You say he goes all the way... He should, because, I mean, Islam Makhachev is right behind him in number 5. And then, I mean, Michael Chandler beat Dan Hooker. So, I mean, Dan Hooker's... Looking, you know, he's sitting at number 6 in the contenders.
And he'll drop because he just lost.
I mean, we're going to have to find out. Look, this is an anticipated fight. It's perfect for it to open the card. You know, for all those casual fighters out there, this is a perfect fight to capture people's attention if you want to buy into this pay-per-view. And I would say buy into this pay-per-view or go to Miller's or go to anywhere showing the fights. And watch this pay-per-view. Do not sleep on this card. We've got a stacked card. Load it. And then we also have Rose Namajunas and Weili Zhang. Now, this is for the strawweight belt. This is a rematch. the last time they both fought was against each other. And Rose Namajunas, with that head kick, blew the world away. And I couldn't be more happier for her when she won this belt, you know? It was the highlight. Now, there's a lot of people saying that there's a lot of stuff on the line with this fight. So, Weili Zhang, right? She, you know, was the champion, and she was pretty dominant of a champion, you know? She has a lot of big wins underneath her belt. She has Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She has Jessica Andrade. She has Tisha Torres. And the list goes on and on. She's knocked out these top contenders in the strawweight division.
Right.
And a lot of eyes have been on Weili Zhang being the marketable fighter for the Chinese market. So the UFC has been trying to break into this Chinese market, and they've been trying to find these dominant Chinese fighters, and it didn't work for her against Rose Namajunas. Rose Namajunas showed her colors, and it capitalized on that advantage and knocked her out and knocked her flat out. You know, like, there was no controversy with that first fight. However, it was a short fight. It only lasted 1 minute and 18 seconds. Yep. So there's a lot of questions, right? A lot of questions to be answered as to, like, what would have happened if that fight extended longer? You know, because it's obvious that, yes, Rose Namajunas got that head kick on her, but what would have happened if that head kick never happened? You know, like, what happened if she didn't clip her with that shot, you know?
Well, we'll see tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow. You're jumping the gun, and I'm already excited. I want it to be tomorrow. I want it to be today. However, we got a few more sleeps to get through.
The thing is, like, to answer your question is, what would happen? We'll find out Saturday.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen, because you can't say what would have happened if they would have missed this or didn't hit this. Man, it is a wish of... What is it? What if? A what if?
Yeah.
It's a what if. So if we find out Saturday is what we're going to find out if she didn't clip her. Because in my opinion, I think Zhang is going to beat her. I think Rose is going to lose that belt.
You think Rose is going to lose that belt?
It was just her night, and she clipped her with a good head kick and put her out in
now,
a minute.
Now she is... I just don't she see has... changed camps for this fight.
Who did?
Weili Zhang.
Right.
She's now training with Henry Cejudo, double champion, you know, mm-hmm. previous double champion, and has been like the highlight of that camp. So right now, all the focus is on Weili Zhang and recapturing that title. And I mean, I don't like that prediction because I love Rose Namajunas.
Doesn't matter if you like her or not. I love some of my fighters, and I know they're going to lose certain fights. Doesn't matter. You can't just go on who you love. You got to just go with what's real.
I know. You know, I am a bias. I will admit, there are times when I am biased. And this fight, I am biased. I love Rose Namajunas and what she has, the adversity that she has come through and overcome, you know. I want her to win this belt. I want her to defend this belt, and I want her to retain that title shot, like that the championship belt. I want her to retain it, you know?
Right.
So I think she wins again. Now, however, like I said, it was a short fight, and she clipped Weili Zhang. I don't know if this were to go into the fourth or fifth round, what would happen, you know? Now, I know the fight game is mentality over any skills. You should be looking at the mentality of the fighter. Weili Zhang was knocked out flat, you know? She's coming into this fight knowing she has already lost. She's already been beaten by Rose Namajunas. And you'd have to think, right, for the Chinese market, for the UFC to, you know, be able to host events with a star like possibly Weili Zhang, she would have to win this fight, right? What does it mean for the UFC if Weili Zhang loses for a second time?
Nothing.
You don't think it hurts her her ability to be a star? I mean, she is already a top star in China, but you got to think that at the end of the day, if she loses again, it's like, well, she's lost twice to the champion. She's lost twice in a row.
I see what you're saying, but once you become champion, the Chinese won't forget that. They're like, oh, she's a former champ. She's this, she's that. They're not. She's still a star in her own country and everything, but I don't see her not getting that stardom that she has in China going away because she loses again. I just don't think Rose is beating her either. Like, I don't. I think she's going to get worked. I think Zhang is going to work her bad.
She's going to have to pick Rose Namajunas apart, you know, because Rose Namajunas is a dog, yo. And she's going to go into this fight and she's going to, you know, obviously already have the advantage because she's beaten Weili Zhang. But she's going to have to capitalize on the distance, you know, keeping distance and picking her shots and picking them right. You know, she can't just go in there and basically think, oh, I can knock this chick out again. Because, well, Li Zhang, you know, that, in my opinion, it was a lucky shot. You know, it was great for her to capitalize on that and beat a champion, you know.
It's kind of hard for a head kick to be a lucky shot. I think it's a well-designed game plan. She just caught her off guard and just went, boom, yeah. I got you. You're out. I'm going to capitalize on this opportunity.
But it is a lucky shot because she could have ate it. You know, there's a lot of fighters that, you know, if it clips them on the chin right, yes, they go out cold. But, you know, a lot of times if it slides up, you know, there's not that much, you know, pressure on the kick. And she could have, you know, bounce back from that. I don't know. It was a really, really hard kick, you know?
When Rose hit her with the head kick, she just went flat on her back.
Oh, she was out
cold.
And
then she rolled over, tried to defend herself when she's still dazed and confused. And Rose just capitalized on it. For that to happen again, it's going to be have lightning striking you. There's no way it's going to happen again. I think Zhang is just going to outbeat Rose. I think Rose is going to have to go in there expecting it to be a 4-5 round fight. I think Zhang possibly could win by decision, or it's going to be an ender. And basically, in my opinion, I've been right with a lot of predictions so far. I say maybe Zhang would win 4 rounds in the 4th round, maybe by a TKO with punches. And if not, I think she's going to actually throw an upset on the judges for decision. I think it'll be a decision win, which never goes to the challenger, always goes to the champion. But I think it'll be a term of events where she'll win by decision.
She, for her to win that belt back against Rose Namajunas, it has to be 100% unanimously. Like, there can't be no question, you know, about
the winner.
About the winner, you know, because, yeah, it's very hard to overcome the judges' opinion. And, you know, usually, like you said, it goes in the champion's favor. It has to be 100% decisive, you know. We're going to have to find out, you know. I mean, these are rematches for the making. Please pay attention to this card. It's worth it, you know. It really is worth it. And I'm thrilled for this card. I've been waiting for this. And I can't be more happy. So, in the main event, we have Kamaru Usman.
Snoozman.
Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a rematch as well. And this is for the welterweight championship.
It's a good rematch, too.
It's a good. So, we're coming off of UFC 267, you know, where we saw this monster of Khamzat Chimaev, you know, and it's just crazy to think that this guy, Khamzat Chimaev, may be 1 or 2 fights away from fighting this winner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Kamaru Usman's 19-1, has only lost one time in 2013.
Yep.
Right? And it's been a long time for him.
He's due.
He is. No, I don't know. Due. I don't know about this one.
He's due.
I see there's a lot of changes to this fight as well since the first fight, right?
Yep.
This first fight between Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman, you know, hasn't happened since 2019, you know?
Right.
Yes, Kamaru Usman knocked him out in the fifth round. He absolutely knocked him out. But it was his toughest fight. You cannot deny between Kamaru Usman's previous challenges that Colby Covington has been his toughest challenge.
Yep.
It was his 100% his toughest fight. And up until the fifth round, you know, it was back and forth. And Colby Covington, that fight, was fighting more with ego. There was a lot of hatred between them two.
Well, he had a broken jaw, too.
Oh, yeah. But you have to think that as much as I love... See, Colby Covington gets a lot of hatred. He has a lot of negativity because of his ego and the way he's talked and how he's brought politics in it with voting for Donald Trump and all this. And, you know, basically having Donald Trump at his last fight, like, this is crazy. Like, the things that he, you know, taking pictures with Donald Trump as well. Like, he has had a lot of hatred and negativity brought to him. But I see a change in Colby Covington. There's a change, you know. He has changed his training camp, right? He was fighting at ATT, and now he's fighting at MMA Masters. So he has basically done some changes, right?
In what? In his camp?
That's in his it? Now his camp is solely focused on him and him only.
Well, yeah, it's just the camp that's changed. His personality and everything didn't change.
His personality has changed because when you see his last fight against Tyron Woodley, right? So when you look at both these fighters, right, uh-huh. It's obvious Kamaru Usman has been the most active fighter since these two have fought back in 2019. You see that, you know, Colby Covington's last fight against Tyron Woodley, that was his first fight when he changed camps. Mm-hmm. And looked how just savage he looked during that fight.
Yeah, but I'm missing the part where his personality has changed. How did his personality?
He's not going to come into this fight fighting with an ego.
He is. He called him Snoozman again.
Yeah,
and he called Chimaev cum shot.
Yeah, well, so obviously
his personality hasn't changed. He's still a dick. I love it. I think he's a great fighter.
He's not as much of. He's not going to be fighting as much with an ego. He's going to be fighting more strategically, I feel, because of just basically how he has come along as and evolved as a different fighter, I feel. You know,
No, I don't. I think he's still the same.
I mean, they're obviously going to talk trash. Yes, they have to sell the fight. Yes.
Yes.
At the end of the day,
they have to.
Yes, they have to sell the fight.
Yep.
And that's a given. But I feel like he should be more strategic, and he shouldn't be letting he's not going to be fighting with emotions. He shouldn't be fighting with emotions.
I agree with that. He shouldn't, but I think he is. It's just who he is.
That's a mistake. When you're fighting against Kamaru Usman, you've already been beat by Kamaru Usman, right? And Kamaru Usman has also basically changed his camp. He changed his camp to Onyx Camp, right. ONX.
Right.
So Trevor Whitman is his trainer, right?
Yep.
And Trevor Whitman also has his work cut out for him this weekend. Because at the same camp that Kamaru Usman fights at, also Rose Namajunas fights at, also Justin Gaethje fights at. So he's going to be, Trevor Whitman's going to have his work cut out for him by the time this main event happens, you know?
Yeah.
And let's hope, you know, that, you know, let's hope that for his sake, his fighters win, you know? Because, you know, let's be real, right? Kamaru Usman has been dominant in 14 fights.
Yeah.
He has defended 100% takedowns.
Yep.
100% of the takedowns that have been attempted on him, he's defended them. Hasn't allowed it, you know? So for Colby Covington to try and come in as a wrestler, it's not going to work for him. You know, he's not going to be able to try and take Kamaru Usman down, I feel, and try and capitalize on that. I feel like his plan would have to be more strategic. Do you agree?
Yeah, he can't just come out and try to box Usman like he did last fight. He said, I'm not going to go to the ground. Usman said, me either. We're going to just stand and bang. And they did, and it was a great fight. But I agree that he can't fight with emotions, Kobe. Can't fight with emotions. He has to come in with a different strategy. Like, do some clinch work. Do something. You got to do something. Because you standing up and banging him, I don't think Kobe has that skill set to take down Usman with just boxing. I think it has to be an element of things to come around for him to beat Usman.
So, who's your prediction to win this fight?
I think Kobe's going to get the best of him. I do. I think he's going to beat him.
You think that much has changed in 2 years?
I don't think much has changed. I just think just the raw, like, grit that Kobe has and the heart he has, I think he's going to wear out Usman with a different strategy this time. I don't know what the strategy is. I just can't put my finger on it. I don't know. But I think he's going to have a different strategy and take out Usman for sure.
Mm. See, I like to go with Colby Covington, but let's be real. I don't know if he can change anything up from the first fight.
That's what I'm saying. I can't think of a different strategy. I think he's just going to outwill him.
Like, who I want to win, right, is Colby Covington. Who I think's going to win is Kamaru Usman. I think there's nobody really out there except for possibly the wrecking machine, Khamzat Chimaev. And let's be real, Khamzat Chimaev may be on a level to potentially fight Kamaru Usman. I think he still has a few more fights, like I said, to get to that level. I mean, he is 10-0. And you know, we're going to have to see, you know, who he possibly fights next. A lot of people are calling him to fight Gilbert Burns. So, like, with the welterweight rankings, right, there's a lot of tie-ups in the division. So, you got Kamaru Usman, he's the champ. Colby Covington's number one. And then Gilbert Burns is number two. Leon Edwards is number three.
But he's already fighting Leon.
That's what I'm saying. So when you think about, like, Khamzat Chimaev broke into the top 10 this weekend,
right?
You know, with that dominant win over Li Jingzhang. You know.
You mean Ling Wu?
Li Jingling.
Oh.
That's who he fought on Saturday.
Right, I know.
And so we didn't get to talk much about that fight, but it was dominant, you know?
Yeah.
For his comeback and what he has overcome, it's just crazy to not think that he's in this contender. So the only one open for Khamzat Chimaev left is Gilbert Burns. A lot of people are calling for Gilbert Burns to fight him next.
I can see that, because Gilbert's not fighting nobody. He's not fighting nobody right now.
He's not fight. He has no fight scheduled, no. But when you look at Kamaru Usman, and when you look at the rankings, I feel like Kamaru Usman may win this fight. I think he's too dominant of a champion right now. I don't see anybody in this top six possibly beating him. You know, there is nobody. You know, he already beat Gilbert Burns back in February 13. Beat Jorge, beat Leon Edwards. Well, Jorge is not even in the top six right now, which is pretty crazy. So, I mean,
but my thing is, though, I think in my opinion, UFC would rather have Kobe as champion, because he talks trash, he makes fun of everyone, he's a loudmouth, and it's a good selling point. Like, that's what I was saying with the way Conor was. Conor was a good fighter, he talked a lot of trash, and that's what Kobe does. I think that's what they want.
So let me ask you this, because Dana White came out this week, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking of the welterweights, came out and basically said, I think the next person that should fight Khamzat Chimaev is Nate Diaz.
Great.
What the hell? That is a scary fight for Nate Diaz.
I think it's a scary fight for Chimaev.
So, no. Khamzat Chimaev, do you know what Khamzat Chimaev did to Li Xinjiang.
I watched the same fight you did.
So he basically, for all you guys that didn't watch this fight, he basically manhandled this guy. And
who was he again?
Picked him up, right?
Right.
Picked him up.
Uh-huh.
Took him willingly,
right.
You know, basically, like the monster he is, took him over to Dana White's corner, where Dana White was sitting in the ringside.
Yep.
Said a bunch of shit to Dana White.
Yep.
And there was like, watch this. Watch what I'm going to do. And grabbed his arm and put it in a kimura. And would have broke his arm, man.
And who's Zhang again? Who is he? Oh, a nobody.
No!
He's a nobody.
See, that's the thing, right?
A nobody.
That's the thing when we were just talking about the potential Chinese contenders. You would think like Li Xinjiang is a nobody. Mm-hmm. And I'm butchering his name. It is what it is. But you would think he's a nobody. But for what Khamzat Chimaev has overcome, he had the most brutal of COVID symptoms. Pretty much almost died, almost retired because of the COVID complications that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes back, right?
Yep.
Off of a year and some change, being, you know, since he's fought,
mm-hmm.
comes back and does what he did in the octagon on Saturday.
Like Kobe Covington said, he almost retired because of a common cold.
No. That's what you think. People are dying from COVID, bro.
No, listen. I'm not saying it. I'm saying Kobe Covington said he almost died.
Well, he's going to talk smack. Yeah, he's going to talk smack. He's trying to, you know, get everybody excited in this welterweight division and call out everybody. And
back to what we were saying. If he fought Nate Diaz, that is the worst move he can do. Worst move.
You think Nate Diaz would win that fight?
I think Nate Diaz can give him some work.
See, that's what I'll get on the topic that I was talking about last week, right? Basically, you know, Nate Diaz has one fight left on the contract, right?
Right.
I feel like Dana White is trying to throw him to the wolves, and that wolf just happens to be Khamzat Chimaev.
I think that's a sheep thinking that he's a wolf. He will get worked. If he wants to go to ground with Nate Diaz, big mistake. He's a a 6-degree black belt in jiu-jitsu or something. He is crazy on the ground.
Do you see the size differences in those two? Do you see how
tall? Bigger.
No way. Do you not see the size of Khamzat Chimaev? He doesn't even really belong. We saw the complications, right, that he had on the scale.
Right. Nate is huge. Have you seen Nate?
Nate is huge, but Khamzat, I believe, is on it's a very scary fight, in my opinion, for Nate Diaz.
What's your reason?
Just because of the size advantage, the fact that he manhandles somebody like Li Xinjiang.
Yeah, he has no skill on the ground.
He has
zero.
In four fights, he has only been hit with one strike.
He fought all people who are not good.
He's done, right? He's done what people like Khabib hasn't done. And in Khabib's first four strikes, or his first four fights, has been hit by strikes way more.
Why did Khabib avoid Nate Diaz when Nate Diaz called him out for several years and beat him up in the bar? Beat his ass in a bar. Why did Khabib say, nah, I don't want no parts of him? Because he's dangerous on the ground, and that's what they are specialized on, the ground. They don't want Nate. They do not want Nate. They don't.
See, that would be, right, so that fight potentially happening, right?
Which one?
And we're getting sidetracked right here because we're supposed to be talking about the predictions, but this is just so exciting. So if that fight were to happen, right?
Which one?
Nate Diaz versus Khamzat Chimaev.
Right.
If Nate Diaz were to capitalize on a win against that, who is to deny him from a title shot?
He wants out. He probably, knowing Nate, he probably beat him and say, I'm the best.
I'm out.
Yeah. Right. You even thought the same thing before I said it. He's out. And then what does that happen to Chimaev? He's like, shit, I lost.
And now he beat an undefeated fighter, you know, so Nate Diaz would beat an undefeated fighter and somebody who's potential prospect to possibly beat somebody like Kamaru Usman. A lot of people have been talking about it that since this fight over Saturday, who knows, man? Kamaru Usman should be scared of somebody like Khamzat Chimaev. And
I don't.
You don't think so?
No, I... Like, I... I went back and I saw the fight. Well, I saw it live, actually. And I looked at his previous fights. He has fought nobody that's in relevancy of a top 10 fighter. He hasn't. He fought all a bunch of no-names, pretty much. And he dominated them. Congrats. Yeah. He dominated no-names, which is impressive in itself.
But that's what you have to do in your first few fights. They're right. Not going to throw you to the dogs.
Yeah, but now everyone's saying Chimaev deserves a title shot or he deserves this. Man, all right, I might have been that guy too last week saying, no, he might deserve a title shot. But me re-looking and overthinking, I'm going to correct myself. I don't think he deserves it. He has fought nobody.
You think he's
worth talent.
You think he's overhyped?
Right now, yeah, he has to be.
Oh, man.
Dude, if you look at his last, like, five opponents, he fought nobody that's even close to being top 10. Yeah, you dominate with your skill set, which you should, because you're a great fighter, obviously. But to say that he can fight for a title or think he'll work Nate Diaz, people forget Nate Diaz has jiu-jitsu black belt, and he is crazy on the ground. In his early fights, guess what he did? Just take people down, submit them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them. Now he wants to stand up and bang because his boxing's better. And look what he did to Conor when Conor would go to the ground. Gotcha, fam. I choke you out.
But you know how young Khamzat Chimaev is? I think he's in his 20s.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, jiu-jitsu overworks wrestling majority of the time. And if you look at wrestlers back in the day, when they went against a jiu-jitsu fighter, jiu-jitsu always wins. Like I said, it could be a different type of Dagestan wrestling that could be changing everything. Totally agree with that. But against jiu-jitsu, I don't know. I don't think he ever fought a jiu-jitsu fighter either. If you ever think about it, he didn't fight nobody who is jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could be their kryptonite, Dagestan wrestling. Don't like no jiu-jitsu guys. They like boxers and wrestlers. Maybe not jiu-jitsu.
We'd have to find out. Make that fight, Dana White. Make that fight, you know? When you look at the rankings, so Kamaru Usman, say he wins on Saturday, or Colby Covington wins. Who do they fight next?
I think Kobe would have people to fight, maybe Justin Gaethje, all that.
Different division.
Oh, you're right.
So there's Stephen Thompson. Stephen Thompson's lying in the wings.
No.
Or Stephen Thompson. Stephen Thompson. You got Vicente Luque. He was looking to fight Nate Diaz, never came to fruition.
No, I think Kobe would fight Leon or Jorge.
You think so? You think that's a number one contender fight in December?
It could be. Well, I think that's only if Kobe wins. If Usman wins, I think everything changes dramatically.
Yeah, because he'd beat both of them.
Right.
You know, he'd beat both of them.
I think it would be a different outcome. If Kobe wins, I think it would be the winner of Leon Edwards and Jorge, leaning towards more Leon. If Jorge won, then I think he would fight Vincent Luque or something like that, or something around those realms, or Gilbert Burns. I think it's just like chess almost. Like, you got to wait to see what happens with this fight, and then you move the pieces in order. I think it just matters on what happens next.
So for all you guys, you little casuals out there, possibly, there is a sleeper fight on this card, right, that is in the prelims. Please pay attention to this fight. On this card, lying in sleeping position is Alexandre Pereira. Now, when people hear this name, they don't know who the F he is, right? They don't know who he is. Well, he is, for all you guys that don't know, he has beat Israel Adesanya. He is the only fighter to beat Israel Adesanya, and he did it in kickboxing.
Back in the
twice.
Day.
Back twice. In the day. So he beat Israel Adesanya twice. And he is a favorite against in his fight against Andreas Michailidis. And do not sleep on that fight, okay? Because he is a potential, and he's coming. He's coming for Israel Adesanya. He thinks he can beat him again, this time in mixed martial arts, rather than, you know,
Kickboxing.
And Alice Pereira is a two-time champion in
kickboxing.
So do not sleep on that fight. We also have a few undefeated fighters on the card. Ian Garry, he's 7-0. He's fighting Jordan Williams. We have a few heavyweight fights. We have Gian Vellante versus Chris Barnett. There's Al Iaquinta. He's from New York. He'll be fighting on this card. We have a lot of fights to look forward to this weekend.
Yep.
But we also have the biggest boxing fight, in my opinion, this year. You don't think so? You think you don't think it'll overstep Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul?
Please. I think it's gonna. I don't think it's gonna overhype Fury versus Wilder.
You don't think it'll hype Fury versus Wilder?
No. No shot.
It will be hard to do. Yes, I will admit that. But I'm super disappointed that these two are going head-to-head, right? So when you think about it, how well can UFC 268 and Canelo Alvarez versus Cal Plant, how can they share the biggest fight weekend of 2021?
They're just being stubborn. I think one owner feels like they can triumph the other owner. I think that's just what it is. Alvarez, I think he has a lot of hype. I think he's going to have a lot of fans, but not like the UFC. I think UFC is going to take it this time, unfortunately.
It's hard to do, you know, and it's very selfish of us fans to be like, well, you know, why would they put these two fights on at the same time? They're going to be in the same time, two separate coasts, you know. Canelo versus Cal Plant will be in the West Coast, whereas UFC 268 will be in the East Coast in New York. It's a real shame that they would make us choose. Because, I mean, for somebody like me and somebody like you, we may be at Miller's. Well, unfortunately, Miller's isn't showing both fights.
No.
So for all you guys that are going to be watching these pay-per-views at home, you're better off trying to get those two screens, you know, and if you want to shuffle out $140 or $160 because they're both $80 pay-per-views, you know, by all means do it. But, you know, for somebody like me who loves boxing and also loves UFC, you know, it tears my heart to have to watch both of these fights and try and, because obviously I'm a big UFC fan. You're a big UFC fan. So we're obviously going to try and pick the UFC over boxing.
We'll just have to bring a laptop to Miller's and just watch the Plant fight.
We're going to have to bring a laptop to Miller's and watch the and watch the Canelo fight. Because I don't want to sleep on this fight, right? I can't see myself missing this fight, you know.
Well, just think, right? Is like the whole undercard of the Plant fight is trash. It's the only fight that's there is Alvarez versus Plant. The other fights are trash. Let's be real with ourselves. So, if anything, you just have to flip back and forth with the main event. After one round's over of Usman and Kobe, you flip that bad boy.
That's impossible.
And try to watch Alvarez.
That's impossible to do. So, when you look at Canelo Alvarez, he's in his 16th year as a pro and has fought 425 rounds. And yet he's still in his prime. You know, he's still improving as a fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, he's 31 years old. A lot of people were like, oh man, like, what the, you're still so young, but you have fought
a lot,
high level opponents. Like when you, he's 56-1, right? With only two draws on his record.
And who did he lose to?
He lost to Mayweather, yes. Yeah. I mean, who didn't, you know?
Well, yeah.
And obviously nobody has.
Well, he hasn't lost.
Nobody has beat Floyd Mayweather, yeah. So, I mean, for when Floyd Mayweather decided to step out of boxing and go to these exhibition fights, Canelo has taken over, you know?
I think as soon as Pacquiao retired too, that I think Canelo just emerged heavily favorite on the spotlight. Mayweather is pretty much gone. Pacquiao retired a couple weeks ago, so it's pretty much just Canelo now.
So Canelo is on a 15-fight win streak, right? And he's fought, he has fought a lot of undefeated fighters. Now, Cal Plant is another undefeated fighter. Cal Plant is 21-0, he has 12 KOs, and he's 29 years old. And He's gonna be a little taller than Canelo. Mm-hmm. Cal Plant's gonna be 6-1. You know, he's 6'1", and Canelo is 5'8".
Right.
So, you know, he'll have a little bit of height advantage. However, Canelo has fought like Billy Joe Saunders. He was undefeated. He was 30-0 when he fought Billy Saunders back in, you know, May of this year, I believe. That was his last fight, was against Billy Joe Saunders. Then he fought Callum Smith. He's 27-0. And then he fought Gennady Golovkin. Once was a draw, and then he capitalized and beat him, you know,
again.
Yeah. And Canelo was 38-0. So this isn't no new thing to Canelo to be fighting an undefeated fighter.
Right.
I do think, however, you know, so he Canelo lost against Floyd Mayweather back in 2013.
Right.
But basically hasn't lost since then, you know?
Right.
He's gone on a win streak since Floyd Mayweather and has improved as a fighter, you know?
I think he improved dramatically. I think Plant's in for a rough night. I think he's going to lay on his back. I think Canelo's probably going to knock him out.
I think Canelo will knock him out and prove that there's really nobody else for Canelo, you know?
Well, I think the only way Plant could win if he uses his size, because he has the reach, he has the height. So if he keeps him at bay and just keeps working him, jab, jab, work that jab like no other, and then maybe he can step to the side when Canelo gets in real close, step to the side and hit him with a straight. I think that would probably be his best option to beat Canelo. But other than that, I think if Canelo gets him in close and works the body and works on him, I think Canelo's going to go lay on his back probably around 10 or 11.
You think it'll be around 10 or 11?
Yeah, for Plant
round.
To lay on his back. That's if Canelo does the right things, like get in, work the body, and throw some good hooks. I think Plant will probably lay on his back in around 10. Or if Plant works his jab and straight, I think it's going to take a long time. I think maybe 12th round decision. I think it'll be a decision for Plant. For Plant to win, it would have to be a decision.
You don't think he's knocking out Canelo Alvarez?
I do not.
I don't think he's knocking out Canelo Alvarez either. For all you guys watching this podcast, comment below what your thoughts are, Canelo Alvarez, as well as Cal Plant. Mm-hmm. Who do you think's going to win that fight? Who do you think's going to win the main event of UFC 268? Where are you going to be during both these pay-per-views? Are you going to try and watch both these pay-per-views at the same time? It's really sad that they are putting these on together. You know, you'd have to think that, like, you know, there's 53 Saturdays in a year or something like that. I don't know. 52 or something like that. And there's a lot of fights, a lot of weekends that there weren't fights. Why the hell did they have to put these two fights on in the same weekend?
Could wait until next week.
Yeah. But see, this is where it basically shines, because Canelo loves, like, fighting, you know, right before the holidays. He loves fighting on Cinco de Mayo. So, I mean, like, this is nothing new for Canelo to, you know, try and go up against the UFC pay-per-view. It's a real shame, you know. But we're going to have to see. We're going to be live at Miller's if you want to come join the fights. And, you know, I'm on a toss-up, you know. I want to go to Miller's, but at the same time, I'm like, I want to watch both these pay-per-views, you know. Like, I don't know what to do, you know. When I called up Miller's today and I asked them, I was like, you guys showing both the pay-per-views, you know, it was obvious what answer I was going to get. You know, they're not going to shuffle out thousands and thousands of dollars to show both pay-per-views, and I get it, you know. I get it. However, I am a UFC fan, and I am 100% focused on this pay-per-view for the UFC. I love Canelo fights. It gets me pumped up when Canelo fights. And like I said, he is the star, in my opinion, in boxing, you know, in the super middleweight division. You know, he's basically been dominant. Like, and he improves in every fight, he improves, you know, and you can't deny that, you know. But it's a real shame that these two pay-per-views have to go up ahead head-to-head, you know. But for all you guys watching, we appreciate if you go to the YouTube video, if you're watching on YouTube, comment below your thoughts on this video and comment below on your thoughts on the pay-per-views this weekend. And show us some love. Hit the subscribe button. We're dying for subscriptions. You know, we need that in our life, you know? We get a lot of views and we appreciate all the views, but people forget to hit that subscribe button, you know? Like, where's the love? You know? We are 100% focused to get comments, you know? And for people to comment in on the video, you know, we appreciate for all those that do watch us, you know? But we're going to be live back in the studio Sunday giving our thoughts on both these pay-per-views as well as BKFC, which decided to go head-to-head with UFC in New York. I don't know what the hell. It's crazy that they would think that they would even come close to, you know, the viewage of what UFC is going to do, and they're both in New York. Like, you know, I love BKFC, but I think they're in trouble for this show that they're putting on this Saturday. You don't go into New York City and in hostile territory with UFC live and trying.
I think what it is too is that the Canelo Alvarez fight probably be on after Colby Covington's fight.
I don't think so.
I do,
because of the two title fights, right? And the two title fights being 25-minute rounds. And let's be real, I love both of these fights. However, there's a possibility they can both go to decision, and then we've got, what, an hour between both fights? So,
I think it'll become close, if anything, if it is the distance for both fights, we'll just say. I think you'll still have maybe 4 or 5 rounds left of a Canelo fight. Because the intros are so long for boxing.
Oh, yeah.
They're stupid long.
Yeah, there are.
I think you'll catch some of it. Because the Tyson Fury fight, that wasn't over until 1 a.m. easily.
That is true.
So
that
you might catch some of
it. But some of these pay-per-views for UFC, when they put on two title fights, some of them go until 1:30.
That's if everything is decision. That's very unlikely.
And this is very likely.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Rose Namajunas versus Weili Zhang. If your prediction's right and Weili Zhang wins,
it could be a decision.
Like Justin Gaethje even Michael Chandler, I see that being a finish.
Yeah, I think that's a finish.
I don't see that going to the judges.
Usman Kobe, I think that's a finish.
You think that's a finish?
That's a finish.
And you think it could be Colby Covington doing that finish?
I think so.
Whew.
Usman's due.
Usman's due.
He's due for
And also, you know, Frankie Edgar's on that card too. This may be potentially his last fight.
I think it should.
It could be his last fight.
I think he's losing too. I think he's going to lose. 100% going to lose. And he's going to leave his gloves in the ring. In the octagon, sorry. The octagon, and just say, I'm done. I just don't see him fighting any longer.
I think the last fight he fought was Corey Sandhagen. I think Corey Sandhagen knocked him out with that knee. I think that was Frankie Edgar's last fight. Yeah. And he's fighting a guy named Marlon Vera. And Marlon Vera is no joke. It's not like they're throwing, you know, easy opponents at Frankie Edgar for how much of a...
He's been in there for so long, he doesn't deserve an easy opponent.
This is like a gatekeeper fight, you know? I feel like...
I think that's what he is. He's a gatekeeper.
He needs to...
And then as soon as he loses, he's going to say, I'm done. Talked.
I think... And I love Frankie Edgar. He represents New Jersey. You know, we're East Coast here. You know, we represent Philadelphia. But, you know, New Jersey is very close to us.
Yeah, it's like 20 minutes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd hate to see Frankie Edgar go out with a loss, but I think potentially this could be his last fight. And we're going to have to find out, you know. Please tune in. Buy into UFC 268 this weekend. I believe this is a high-hyped card, and I think it's worth the money. I do think, you know, $70 is hard to spend, but I think this fight is worth it. You can also buy Canelo Alvarez versus Cal Plant. That's a very, very important fight in boxing. And I think that could be the potential to maybe be fight of the year. I don't know. It's going to have to top Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. And like you
it
said, it's very hard to do. That was an incredible fight. So for me, Chris, let me shout out my Devereaux Sports family. We've got the Gobbler Rink. They'll be live here this Sunday. They'll be talking about the Eagles versus LA Chargers game. and then, you know, they'll be talking about the Sixers and the Flyers. And then we also have us back in studio Sunday commenting on and reacting to the pay-per-views. And then Monday we have the Sullivan Squad. They'll be reacting to the Eagles versus LA Chargers game. Hopefully it's a win, you know, because we are East Coast, baby. And then on Tuesday, we have the old school show. Incredible show. They love, you know, talking about the history of sports. And if you are an old head, tune in, brother, because you will have a fantastic show with them. And then on Wednesday, we're back in studio. And then Thursday, we have, well, tomorrow, actually, we have Breakfast and Body Slams. I totally forgot about them. They're live Thursday, tomorrow, 9:05, and they're live every Thursday to tune in for a great wrestling show. It'll be fabulous for me. For Chris, any ending remarks?
No, I think you pretty much covered it all.
Then, for me, Chris, for Vinny Quinn, we are out. You guys have a great day. Watch them pay-per-views this weekend.